The meeting will come to order with the new sheriff in town. Chair will note that a quorum is... Well, Representative Muller, you're probably thinking, I hope it isn't a preview of 2008. Chair notes that a quorum is present. Representative Anzell will move the minutes of the April 1st meeting. Are there any questions, comments, or corrections to the minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. That motion prevails. The minutes are adopted. Folks, it's Booze Day here at the Commerce Committee, so the game plan, quickly subject to Chair Atkins and Representative Zellers as the author, is what we're going to do is we're going to hear House File 3986, which has become the rather high-profile later closing hours for the Republican National Convention. Mm-hmm. Then the bill is going to be laid over, okay? And it's going to come back later as an amendment when Chairman Atkins presents the omnibus liquor bill. Representative Zellers, care to move your bill?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to move House File 3986, straight over possible inclusions in the omnibus liquor bill.
Okay. And folks, what we're going to do, the reason that we're moving it now is to hear from anyone, any questions, concerns, or comments, either from the committee or anybody who wishes to testify in the audience. Representative Zellers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I would actually, right now at this time, like to move the A4 amendment.
Okay. Representative Zellers moves the A4 amendment. Representative Zellers to the A4 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. The A4 amendment is peace in the valley, and by way of getting to the peace in the valley, Chair and Representative Kahn has committed to me that she will stop helping me with my bill. Therefore, we were able to come to peace in the valley on the final product. But in all seriousness, Mr. Chairman, members, the original concept was to the ultimate in local control. Let the cities in the 7-county metro have whatever opt-in, opt-out, whatever you want to call it, to have their bars and restaurants open a couple hours later during the convention hours. If you look at the original bill, it had a lot longer opening and closing dates for the convention, and then also had a little bit looser language for cities and municipalities. We've now tightened that down, working with, and I'd like to thank the members and representatives of this, not only the St. Paul City Council, Minneapolis City Council, for the diligent work, and Representative Kahn, although she sort of kidnapped my bill and her committee early on and changed it a little bit, she's actually been very helpful on this, and when the two far ends of each spectrum can come together politically, I think you've got a good bill. So what we have, members, is we're going to be open on the Sunday prior to the convention starting and then closing on the Thursday, but technically Friday morning of the last day of the convention. The cities in both Minneapolis and St. Paul, the two major host cities, have said they wanted a little bit more control on where it was going to be geographically and who was going to be able to get this. So we have a permit process that will not exceed $2,500, so we're not going to try to set up winners and losers by their economic base, but have a fee, and then also the geographic zoning for those city councils. And again, this is a local control issue. If cities choose not to do this, that is absolutely in their right. This is just giving them the option to decide if they would like to. And again, the opportunity is not necessarily for the conventioners, you know, per se, but maybe for some of the folks that are there setting up, taking down, workers, maybe reporters who have read a story late and may or may not get in and out of the convention halls. Security will be tight. Sometimes it can take you up to an hour and a half to get out or into a building. So just to make sure that all options are available, that if conventioners are going to be in town and have some extra time or want to stay out a little bit later and have a beer with their burger at 2 a.m., that they're allowed to from 2 to 4 a.m. That's in essence the bill, Mr. Chairman. I'll answer questions.
Okay. Representative Zeller, since this is an author's amendment, what we'll do is we'll quickly adopt it as a courtesy to the author and then entertain committee discussion and hear from any witnesses that desire to be heard. Representative Zellers moves the A4 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. That motion prevails. The A4 amendment is adopted. Representative Zellers, are there any testifiers that are on the record who want to come up and speak that we know of? Is there anybody in the audience who hasn't contacted the committee but nonetheless desires to be heard with respect to the Zellers bill? Okay. Seymour.
And I will say, Mr. Chairman, as the testifier comes on down, to assure the folks, the parents, the spouses and children in the automotive industry, this is not an attempt to extend hours to a Sunday. For liquor stores, we're not trying, this isn't a first step towards that. This is strictly, my intent the entire time was just to have this for the Republican convention and then to end it. If you'll notice in the last 1.17 of the amendment, this section is repealed as of 4:01 a.m. September 5th. So I'm in no way trying to open up, sorry, Representative Simpson, wine and grocery stores, any other. I've had a lot of folks contact me from industries that I had no idea would relate to bar owners that wanted to make sure this wasn't the first step. And although I won't speak for Chair Kahn, for my commitment to the members of this committee is that this is the bill as it goes forward. No provisions will be at least without, you know, I will oppose any amendments to adopt any kind of new provisions with later closing time, Sunday openings, anything along those lines.
Okay. Sir, if you'd like to come on down and take a seat. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Commerce Committee. If you would state your name for our tape and then proceed with your testimony, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Committee. My name is John Wolf. I'm one of the owners of Dixie's and Sadia's up on Grand Avenue on St. Paul. And I'm here just to comment about the 4 a.m. That right now the restaurant and bar industry has been under a, I guess not really an attack, but we've had a couple of hurdles in the last couple of years via the 0.08. We've also had the no smoking. We've also had minimum wage. We also have the economic downturn along with fuel prices. And so all I ask is an opportunity. 4 a.m. may not suit some people, but at least it gives us an opportunity. The bar owners can make their own decisions whether they want to be open or not. It's a tremendous opportunity for St. Paul, state of Minnesota, to be a showcase for not only our state, but the world. The world will be focused on St. Paul and Minnesota and how we handle things. And I have complete confidence in the law enforcement, staffing at the establishments, that they will take care of patrons. And I think I'm going to disagree with Mr. Spoon and not have a lot of puking Republicans in the streets. And so I just think it's a tremendous opportunity for us to showcase and show what we're made of, open our doors to St. Paul, open our doors to the state of Minnesota, and welcome these visitors from around the world. It's a tremendous showcase to put the welcome mat out. And I look forward to it. It's a tremendous opportunity. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for myself, my partners, and my city of St. Paul, which I'm proud of. We've been there for 22 years and look forward to it. And we're excited to roll out that red carpet. So I do think that $2,500 as far as the permit, I can't make that back in four nights. And so I hope you reconsider that. And once again, just give us an opportunity. That's all we ask. We've had a number of curveballs thrown at us over the years. And all we do is give us an opportunity to open up the doors and put out the welcome mat and show how we can do it. Chicago, New York, a lot of these cities, they have no problem with 4 a.m. And I think when the Xcel Energy and the events get done there at 10:30, 11 o'clock, to close it up, once they get out to the restaurants, the bars, the hotels, wherever they're going, it's going to be 11, 11:30. They're here on somebody else's dollar. They're ready to party. They're ready to get out. They're on vacation. So I look forward to that, and I look forward to taking care of them. So thank you for listening.
Mr. Wolf, thank you for your testimony. Are there any questions for the witness? Representative Dominguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have one little question here that Representative Zellers can probably, he just spoke a little bit about it. It's security, public safety. What have you heard from both cities or the seven county metro areas as far as security?
Representative Zellers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Dominguez. In the permitting process, that's actually, we're going to be able to find out in advance who is going to apply for a permit, who's going to actually get one. So we're going to know in advance. And with any of these conventions, advanced planning is absolutely the cornerstone to knowing where your areas are going to be. In speaking with the Minneapolis and St. Paul folks, they were speaking on behalf of not only the cities, the security, the entire organization, the entire group working with the convention. So that's one way, too. And then also with the zoning, the geographical zoning of it. We're going to be able to keep it to a certain area. Again, if the city chooses, I shouldn't say we as the legislature, the cities are going to have that ability. So they're going to know in advance who's actually going to take these permits out and who's not.
Any other questions for either Representative Zellers or the witness? Okay, seeing none, what the chair will do, lay over House File 3829, and we'll see it reincarnated as an amendment here in just a few moments.
Thank you, Mr.
Mr. Wolf, thank you. I'm going to try and get your establishment again real soon. It's one of my favorites, so I'm going to come down there and try and open my wallet for you.
Yeah, thank you very much, everybody. I appreciate you listening.
Mr. Chairman, good afternoon. Welcome to your committee.
Thank you, Chair De La Forest. I have the liquor omnibus bill, as you said, reincarnated and back before our committee. You'll recall, members, this was moved from the House floor, which is where we were at, back to committee so that we could take up a couple of issues, most notably this 4 a.m. close. And, Mr. Chair, I believe that I need to move what is now the Senate file, which would be Senate File 3672, be recommended passed, and we refer to the Committee on Rules. We're going to need to make a pit stop there before we go back to the House floor.
No, we should move the Senate file and then move dump in the House file. We've got to get the Senate file before. Okay. So, folks, what we've got the Senate file over here, and Representative Atkins has moved Senate File 3672, and I believe the desire of Representative Atkins is to now amend the House language of House File 3829 onto the Senate file. True?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And with that, Mr. Chair, I would make that motion, and then I do have a couple of amendments to put before the committee.
Okay. So, folks, right now we have a motion made to amend the language of House File 3829 into the Senate file. You should have both documents before you. Are there any questions for Representative Atkins regarding the motion? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. The motion prevails. The language of House File 3829 is amended into House File 3672. Representative Atkins, amendments.
Amendments, Mr. Chair. First, I have the A6, which is an author's amendment. Frankly, you just heard Representative Zellers do a fine job of walking through what the amendment accomplishes. We had all the parties together. I believe that there's peace in the valley with respect to it. And with that, I would move the A6 amendment.
Is there any discussion to the A6 amendment? Representative Mahoney.
Mr. Chair, the A6 amendment has on page 4, line 3, I'm looking at page 3, and that's the end of the bill. So maybe I have the wrong bill, but did you amend the House file onto?
Yeah.
You did. Okay.
Mr. Chair, fortunately, Representative Mahoney, we have folks an awful lot smarter than us to make sure that we amend these things to the right location, because that was the same concern I had when I first saw the amendment.
Any other questions with respect to the A6 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. The motion prevails. The A6 amendment is adopted. Representative Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then I would move the A7 amendment. It is an author's amendment, and I'd appreciate having that placed in the liquor omnibus bill. And then I want Ms. McCormick from our nonpartisan House staff to give a walkthrough of what the issue was that arose from when this bill was originally before us with that language.
Mr. McCormick.
Mr. Chairman, first of all, a slight technical change on line 1.3 of the A7 amendment. It should read page 4 after line 3, insert. Mr. Chairman, this amendment deletes...
Can you incorporate that, Representative Atkins, in your amendment?
Sure,
okay,
you.
Just to keep the tape clear.
Mr. Chairman, this amendment deletes sections 2 and 3 of the Omnibus Liquor Bill. Those are found in the 3829 document. And what those sections did was to allow farm wineries to manufacture cognacs and brandies, and to sell those and to give tastings of those. And there's one powerful and important legal issue with the approach that was in the bill, and two strong policy issues. The policy issues are pretty straightforward. First of all, this would, for the first time in Minnesota, allow a manufacturer of one kind of alcohol, wine, to begin manufacturing more than one kind of alcohol, wine and distilled liquors. And that's a policy choice that the legislature has in front of it, but it would be a new policy. And a second issue comes out of the whole issue of how a micro distillery has been regulated. Micro distilleries are the hot new thing, somewhere like a microbrewery was 10, 15 years ago. And some states allow actually microbreweries to operate micro distilleries. Other states allow farm wineries to operate a micro distillery. Yet other states allow micro distilleries to exist separately and alone. And so the regulatory question is, who best should operate a micro distillery in Minnesota? This bill would have put micro distilleries into farm wineries. So those are the two policy issues. The legal issue is an important one. Liquor in recent years has been conditioned by what is known as the Granholm case, Granholm versus Heald. Granholm was the governor of Michigan. In the Granholm case, when the regulation of direct sale of wine was considered, the court, United States Supreme Court, ruled in accord with their longstanding position on the Commerce Clause. State laws violate the Commerce Clause if they mandate differential treatment of in-state and out-of-state economic interests that benefit the former and burden the latter. In the Granholm case, we're talking about wineries, and Michigan's law allowed in-state wineries to ship directly to consumers, subject only to a licensing requirement, but out-of-state wineries, even if licensed, had to go through a wholesaler and retailer. Okay, that meant states had to do the same thing for in-state wineries as out-of-state wineries, and Minnesota complied with the Granholm case, and so currently you can order from California 2 cases of wine under Minnesota law, or order from the winery in Hastings. So we have equal commerce clause treatment of wine. These provisions would have raised a strong question under Granholm. Under these conditions, a farm winery, could have manufactured, let's say, a brandy, and then they could have sold that directly to consumers. But an out-of-state manufacturer of a brandy, under Minnesota law, would have had to ship the brandy in, bring it to a wholesaler, and then sell it through a licensed retailer. That raises a strong Granholm challenge. I'm not sure how a court might rule on this, but I think that a court would look very skeptical eye toward this law, and one result of that might be that the law would fail upon judicial challenge.
Mr. McCormick, thank you. We have before us members of the A7 amendment as amended. Any questions of either Mr. McCormick or the author of the amendment? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor of the A7 amendment as amended, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. The motion prevails. The A7 amendment is adopted. Representative Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a few final brief comments. First, I think it was that explanation, which is why all the media is here, was to find out, the whole issue of Granholm and micro distilleries. But it's an important consideration because it does raise the whole issue that Mr. McCormick just described, raises significant policy and legal issues that we were sort of backing our way into. And rather than do it and have it basically the tail wagging the dog, I thought it would be best for whoever chairing this committee next year to have the full overview of what's happening in other states as well as what could happen in Minnesota before we take that step. So I appreciate your support for that amendment. To the bill itself, we've had 2 changes. One is the 4 a.m. The second one is with respect to what Mr. McCormick just addressed. I am fairly confident, based on having everybody involved in that 4 a.m. decision, we had cities, we had law enforcement, we had the industry, we had the two authors, This will hopefully, I sincerely doubt that it will turn it into the Republican power hour, and that we will have all sorts of problems. I'm confident that it will be handled responsibly by the cities involved. To the fellow from Dixie's, where I did just open my wallet on Friday night, Representative LaForest, Security LaForest, it allows cities to charge up to $2,500. So there's nothing that says that they have to. Perhaps they will consider something less, particularly if they're getting a number of applications. But with that, members, the final comment that I would make is you'll notice that Representative LaForest is chairing the meeting. This is going to be our last formal meeting of the Commerce and Labor Committee. We may have an informational session on a couple of topics, but he has been with us since we started this committee 2 years ago. And it's been a pleasure to serve with you, Mr. Chair. And we don't have the ability to do much around here. But I thought if we gave you the gavel for the day, it is just a sign of our respect and our gratitude for your service on this committee as you move back into the real world.
Well, Representative Atkins, thank you. And I can tell you, Representative Zellers and I have endeavored later this year to do everything we can to boost St. Paul's economy during the Republican National Convention. Well, not being a burden to law enforcement, we hope. We're going to try and find that balance. But members, we still do have the bill before us. Are there any questions or discussions with respect to the omnibus liquor bill, or is there anyone here with us this afternoon who desires to be heard with respect to the omnibus liquor bill? I said, kudos to you, Representative Atkins. Normally, it can be a very contentious bill and certainly attract a lot of barnacles. Two amendments is great. If you'd like to renew your motion.
I would. I'll renew my motion that whatever this thing is now numbered, Senate File 3672,
correct,
as amended, be recommended to pass and refer to the Committee on Rules with a recommendation that it then be sent to the House floor.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. The motion prevails. The recommendation is adopted. Any other business to come before the committee? Seeing none, the committee is adjourned.